should sing the whole show.
So over the course of the last 2 years, I've probably heard, I don't know, 10,000 different news pieces, stories, hit pieces on Burisma, Hunter Biden, the Joe Biden crime family.
Right, $5 million for each of them.
As much as you can imagine, thick in the reporting with this. And, all based off of the testimony of one brave whistleblower.
Smirnoff is his name.
Who, as it turns out, was making it all up. So,
right.
Completely full of shit. Why did he do that? Because he thought Trump would like to hear it. So... And here we are.
Right.
Now will so we see a retraction?
the Republicans, the Putin party should
issue
a retraction.
I mean, it's thousands of stories with this. It has to be 1,000 at least. Burisma. Hunter Biden. Burisma. Yeah.
Well, that was thin gruel to begin with. This one guy says that, and they base their whole thing on it. Now it turns out that's a proven lie now.
I mean, like, it turns out anything's possible if you just make it up.
Oh, well, so that's Goebbels, that's Edward Bernays, that's AI these days. So that's the playbook.
Repeat it and make it monstrously huge.
Yeah, make the lie big and make it frequent.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it works.
It has worked. I mean, it works. And of course, you know, they're not going to hear much about this, right? Because Fox isn't covering it. You can no longer say that that's journalism, if you could ever say it.
Well, it never was. No, those are propaganda outfits, Fox, Newsmax, AON, etc. They're propaganda outlets. However, here's kind of the problem. The right wing primarily bashes the left, Biden. Far more than they praise Republicans or push agendas or push, you know, policy programs.
Right.
Whereas Biden has had the most effective presidency in the last 70 years. He's done more for the middle class than any president since FDR. Yet in the mainstream media, it doesn't seem like it's cool to say that.
Right. Right.
Maybe it's some sort of overcompensating effort to be fair and balanced, I guess. And they should call out mistakes. I mean, that's their job, which, of course, the right wing, they don't see that as their job. They push their guy. The left has one hand tied behind its back for that reason. But in their reporting of mistakes, there just hasn't been a lot of that. Biden's had a remarkably good presidency, effective presidency.
Well, so, it seems like, I think we could lump a lot of the criticism into this area of some fabrication, let's say.
Well, sure.
You know, I'm talking specifically about the border issue, you know?
Oh, right.
You know, but it's just like everything. I mean, this is a huge thing. You know, if you were a Republican, okay, and let's say you were really buying in on this.
Bite your tongue.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying, take your rank and file Republican, you know, not necessarily a Trump supporter, but someone that bought in on this with the Hunter Biden.
We both know a few of those, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. How would you not feel like a crime has been committed against you when this comes out? That this whistleblower, hey, we got a whistleblower, and he made it all up. I mean, wouldn't you feel like, geez, you guys told me 5,000 stories about this. Now, what do you have to say about it? And wouldn't you want a response?
Hopefully, hopefully there's enough of that kind of Republican out there that they're dropping off. And there's some indication that that is happening. Within my own family, who were mostly Republicans, there's only one Trumper left.
I think I got one or two left. Yeah.
So I've got Republican sisters voting for Democrats now.
But so. I've got some that live in Texas, so it's like I almost give them a pass, you know?
Right.
Like, what the hell? Texas. I mean, what the hell are they supposed to do? Go emoliate themselves? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean? You have to live in the society you live in.
That's for sure. Still.
It just seems like it's a heinous thing. You know, it's one thing if you tell a lie and it gets repeated a couple times and you have a little run 3 or 4 days with it and then, you know, you drop it and you're on to something with a little more, you know, something with a little more meat on the bone. But they rode this thing. They rode it all the way to town. You know what I mean? They brought it. I mean, it's like a thousand. It's like 1,000 stories at least. If you do a search on Google, Burisma, Biden, Hunter, I mean, there's literally 20,000 articles come up.
Right, and really, I mean, Mueller himself, who, you know, he pulled his punches, but if you read that report, the whole Burisma thing was shot down then.
Yeah, that's what's even more disturbing, is there was every indication that this guy was full of shit from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't even matter how much temerity or whatever it had. All that mattered was what he was saying. It was pro-Trump. All right, that's what we were missing, a whistleblower.
Well, all of the Republican impeachment efforts have seemed like, you know, a tit-for-tat, you impeached us, we're going to impeach you.
The Mayorkas impeachment attempt has to be one of the most embarrassing moments in American politics. It has to be up there. They even said to him, like, are you sure about this? Because usually when you do an impeachment, it's not to start an investigation. It's because you already did an investigation.
Right, of course.
Like, the Republicans said that they wanted to do the impeachment to get deeper into this. Like, what in the hell is happening?
Well, I mean, they'll say anything that, you know, pushes their program along.
Doesn't matter if it's true or not. It doesn't matter if it's true.
Well, right, exactly.
You know?
Precisely.
Boycott the NFL, go woke, go broke, all that nonsense.
The truth is out of style.
You know, this whole, you know, leading up to the Super Bowl, the narrative was, go woke, go broke, Mr. Pfizer, this is all a scam by the NFL to get the Chiefs in there. You know, it's such a great scam that they got them there 3 times in the last 5 years. That's how much of a scam it was. You know what I mean? All that proved is that they don't know shit about football. That's the first thing.
And I would have thought, you know, the Republican Party was the football party, you know, if anything.
Well, that's what I thought. Yeah. You know. But I think it's more about the party of Kid Rock shooting Bud Light cans with a shotgun. And then later.
I love that.
And button. Then later that coming button. Back and saying, nah, I'm not boycotting anymore. Turns out Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah, that one Republican, Paul, I forget who it was, that was dissing Taylor Swift and saying, we've got Kid Rock. You know, we've got these really has-been and troubled Ted Nugent.
Yeah, Ted Nugent. Ted Nugent.
We got them. Well, yeah, right. You can have them.
But meanwhile, you know, leading up several weeks of that nonsense, and then the Super Bowl finally plays out, and lo and behold, the most watched sporting event in the history of the country.
Yeah.
It actually is one of the most watched television events in the history of America, except for the series finale of MASH. More people watched that.
Oh, no kidding.
And by capita, more people watched the moon landing because there were less televisions then.
Okay.
Right. So a greater percentage of people watched the moon landing. So it basically the third most watched television broadcast in the history of television.
I remember I was a young sailor, and we didn't have a TV in our house. There was just a bunch of us living in there. So we went across the street. There was about 12, 15 people sitting in that living room watching the moon landing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you have any idea you were just watching nonsense? I'm just kidding. No, you know, TikTok's doing a weird thing now.
I always thought the moon was hollow.
Which I love that theory. The hollow moon theory is fantastic. That's one of my favorite ones. At least there's some evidence for that. You know, the guy said the thing rang like a bell. That's what he said. They dropped a wrench or something.
Except we know gravity well enough to know that the mass of the moon requires solidity.
Requires a giant wrench for it to ring like a bell.
Right.
No, but TikTok's doing a weird thing now. You know, the whole time I've had TikTok, it's been like the moon's fake, space is fake, moon landing's fake, it's water up there, there's a dome, you know. Now I'm seeing some posts saying, do you really believe this isn't real? And it's some moon landing shots, some shots on the moon, and they look legit. They're nice looking. Like it's easy to see that it's a planet, that it's a, you know what I mean? That it's not fake.
Right.
Like they're the best photographs I've ever seen of the moon landing, ever. Which I never saw before for years. So I don't know if AI helped with them or... I think TikTok is a weapon. And we can go into that some other time, but I think it really is it's a weapon for social.
Well, to that degree, all of it is, all the entire internet.
But you know, the internet has too many, like the regular social media, Facebook, for example. There's not enough command and control, you know.
So and now AI, who knows what's real?
Well, you know, they've been telling us that nothing is real forever. You know what I mean? Physicists has been telling us this since the 30s. It's nothing's real. No, it's not, you know, you're
it's all an illusion.
It's a hallucination more. It's just the way your brain is processing light and, you know, it's helping you. Your brain's helping you by building your reality for you. Kind of thing. You know, the atoms in you are no different than the atoms in the table. You know, I mean, this is physics.
Okay, that, sure. Sure, there's, 90-some elements that we're all made of.
We're all made of.
And, you know, you narrow that down to about 5 or 6 of them. That's 99% of us.
And then when you look at us, the us that was made, you know, 99.999% of that is empty space, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know.
However.
Hallucinations.
Okay, so we know that stuff, but our machines, our magnifiers, our, you know, are the things that are telling us that. Our real world experience.
Absolutely. And it all makes
perfect. The table in front of me is real. In fact, I've got the sprint test for, you know, it's all an illusion. Stand back about 30 feet from a brick wall.
And run into the wall.
As hard as you can.
I got you. Yeah. How's that hallucination treating you? No, yeah, I got you. It all works out. Look.
You can come back and say the pain is an illusion, but, you know...
you're bleeding nonetheless.
You're bleeding. Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, it all works well and good until you get to the 2-slit experiment, right? And then you find...
Oh, right.
And then you find out that, yes, matter is real, but it kind of is interested in how it's being observed. It has some interest in that.
That's on the quantum level, though, right?
Yeah, but it's observable. I mean, they observed it with electrons.
Yeah, right.
And it creates a whole, it opens up a whole can of worms, which is, you know.
whole box of Schrodinger's cat.
A whole box of Schrodinger's cat on there. And that's fine. And that plays, of course, more into the hallucination argument, which is, you know, the observer, an observer created universe. That's what the two slit seems to suggest, that the observer has some demonstrative effect on matter, on how matter is perceived and seen and measured.
Right.
Kind of went off the rails here a little bit, but you know, to bring this back to court cases. Yesterday you had mentioned it. Yesterday was a huge day in news. You know, we had we got the first results of the first of a string of trials and judgments that are coming.
And at this point, it's $500 million in court fines
we've had two judgments so far, and he's $500 million in the hole. So
yeah, well, three. It's $5 million, then the $83 million.
Oh yeah, they're right. And that one's not done. The 83 is not done. There's another one coming on that.
That's correct, because he keeps blabbing.
Now, okay, $355 million. That's a shit ton of money. Well, I mean, come on, isn't that egregious? What did he do exactly? Well, he did a couple things exactly. he decided to classify Mar-a-Lago as a private residence for the purposes of taxes. Okay, Mar-a-Lago, the country club, is obviously not a private residence, but you can live there. But nonetheless, it's not classified that way. So that's a problem.
Sure, sure, exactly.
He also go ahead.
To get right down to cases, he basically, and this is what they found in the New York cases, he had three sets of books. He had one for banks when he was trying to get a loan.
Right, that understated the value of things, or overstated. Right,
and the one for taxes that understated.
It understated.
And then presumably what was real.
The real books.
Yeah.
You know, just so you can know how the business is operating, right?
Right. Presumably. I don't know if you've ever seen them.
Presumably. So that's against the law in New York.
That's classic fraud. That's gangster fraud.
It's legitimate fraud. You know, it's, you know, and the state of New York looks down on it. So that's a chunk of money.
Yeah.
That's a chunk of money. And the funny thing is, all of that, but all of that can be traced back to AOC's comments. She was the first one that commented on it, which is amazing if you think about it.
What'd she say?
She was talking about him overstating his thing and understating his thing. She said it on the floor.
Yeah.
That got it going. Yeah. That's the first mention
Rachel
of it.
Rachel Maddow.
She should run for president.
Rachel Maddow. Who, Rachel Maddow?
Sure.
Well, right.
Sure.
I trust
her.
I'm ready for AOC. No kidding.
AOC's fantastic, though, huh?
She is.
She's really something. Are we being swooped in because she's too attractive? Is that the deal? Are we judging her wrong because of that?
Well, that's a bonus to be sure, but she brings it. She was more articulate than even Bernie in good progressive, you know, policies. So that was nice.
Like, you think she, we're fighting now politically? Wait till she runs for president. You know what I mean?
God, does she want to?
She'll have to at some point.
Okay, so we've got these two old guys running for president. And yes, it would be nice to have AOC, for instance. I think she could do it. But we've got these old guys, and I think the left is playing by the right's playbook, at least on the age issue. You know, but gaffes, schmaffs, that's not an indication of his judgment and leadership. You look at what he's done to judge that. And like I say, he's had the most effective presidency in the last 70 years. his able politicking.
But you can't. The sad thing is, you can't campaign on it, and the reason why you can't is because the prices are too high. People are struggling. They gouged us. They gouged us with that inflation nonsense, and a lot of those companies have held firm. They haven't brought. They haven't relaxed pricing back down. I understand overall pricing has went back down. I understand that, but not on consumer goods. Not on
right. So that's a liability, and it's going to hurt some.
But you can't say to people, look how great we did, if people are hurting. Then it sounds like nonsense, even if it's true. You know what I mean?
I get that.
They're in a tough spot, I think.
I get that.
He's not dynamic, so you can't put him out there and let him carry the show. That's not going to happen. So you basically need other actors to come in.
I'm not so sure that he isn't. He's given the best political speeches maybe of my entire life.
Yeah, and I've seen when he's walking to and from things and they stick a camera in his face and say something, I've seen him do quite well with that as well. I've seen him be sharp and quick and funny and, you know what I mean? While he's moving.
The one yesterday, they asked him what he's given up for Lent. He said, you guys.
You guys. I mean, that's hilarious, right?
Right.
You tell me something's wrong with that guy. You tell me something's wrong with that guy's brain. I mean, come on.
Look, my father is 100 years old, and not saying he should be president, but I've been able to watch his mental acuity over the last 20 years, and there's certainly been some decline in the 90s, but even going into the 90s, I would have long conversations with him on the phone. He'd forget some things, but His judgment was about the same as ever, and until a couple of years ago. We're at least 95. He was basically fine mentally, and I've got that. Everybody's different, to be sure.
How about this ticket in 2028? You ready for this ticket? Gavin Newsom, AOC.
Shoot, that's a dream ticket.
That's a dream ticket, and that is six. You're looking at 16 years when you look at that ticket. 16 years,
all right.
For sure. She'll be ready then. Why do I gotta fucking? I have to think of everything. You know what I mean? That it is exhausting having to organize this planet. You know what I mean?
Put those Schrodinger cats back in the box.
Tell me what's wrong with that ticket. You have California and New York, right?
Well, if that matters anymore, but I guess it does.
It matters. And, it matters.
And I like Gavin Newsom a lot.
You got a quality manager. He's a quality manager, let's say. Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
I don't need him to reinvent the wheel.
Okay, and so the other indication about Gavin Newsom is he's another good progressive who still is able to, work with centrists and work with the other side and give as good as he gets.
Sure.
So there's, which is one of the other things I think that really stands him well for that spot.
And I heard him speak recently, and his voice sounds better. You know what I mean? They did something.
He's getting better?
They did something. They did something to his voice. It's a little better. It's not as gravelly. You know what I mean?
He's had a little work down there.
I don't know. Either that, or they're fixing the audio voice a little coach. Bit. Or I don't think coaching can fix that. It seemed like...
Yeah,
that seems like a guy who was at pep rallies for 4 years of high school screaming his lungs out. That's what it sounds like. Or he was in a rock band and didn't say anything.
Maybe he's just getting more relaxed.
They did something, but I'll tell you what, it is peaches and cream for me. I mean, that was the only thing holding me back on Gavin was the voice. And now I'm cool with it. So,
well, the only thing that was holding me back on Gavin Newsom is, remember his former girlfriend?
Yeah, what about her?
Who is Eric Trump's girlfriend now?
Is that true?
What's her name?
That's true? Is that true?
Republican convention.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Huh. Well, I guess
a bit troubling.
I need to spend more time thinking about it, I think. So what's next for Trump is his criminal trial, right? The first criminal deal that's coming up in March.
Yes, the hush money.
Hush money. And he gets on. Trump gets in front of a microphone and says, "Stormy Horseface Daniels." So he's now insulting the woman that he had the affair with, and saying she's ugly. This is the strategy.
Well, I think his strategy plays to the court of public opinion. But however, he's got to
stand in a real court.
He's in a real court, you know, where the evidence and facts matter. And of course,
the atomic bomb moment of the Gene Carroll trial was when he pointed to a picture and said that was his wife, Marla Maples, and it was E. Gene Carroll in the photo that he was pointing to.
Once again, they talk about, you know, Biden's gaffes.
It's unbelievable. Like he's cutting the legs out of his own defense. I don't know what the guy's deal is, but he's definitely needs a handler, right?
Right, and he seemingly doesn't really have one.
No, it's an emperor's new clothes type situation, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, great idea. They know if they say, "Great idea, Don," then they get to stay, you know? And that's not a great idea, Don, it's not a great idea at all. He's not quick on his feet. He's keep his mouth shut.
Well, right. He's definitely not quick on his feet. What he does do is effective with a bunch of people.
But it's not enough people.
I think that's true.
I don't think it's enough. I really don't think it's enough. You know, they might have lost some, but other people came in too.
There's Trump, and then there's the Republican Party, and the Freedom Caucus, so-called Freedom Caucus. What I hope, though, is that there's a lot of Republicans, journalists, and being journalists, they rely on facts a little more than the average Republican. For instance, Brett Stevens at the New York Times, they're pretty conservative guy. This is what he said about the Republican Party. What a mix of cruelty, defeatism, conspiracy mongering, and political servility. Brett Stevens.
Wow. You'd have to explain all those words, but yeah.
right to them. They might think it's a praise, but.
Yeah, cheese is delicious. Who doesn't like a nice camembert on a cracker? What? What? I never heard of that.
Ukraine, please get on the stick here. This is our fight. It's not Ukraine's borders versus America's borders. It's our fight. If Putin wins this thing, the world is in trouble. Other aggressive authoritarians will take note. This is not the time to, you know, go all Neville Chamberlain on us here, and which is what the Republican Party is doing.
Mr. Gorbachev, do whatever you'd like. Mr. Gorbachev, please present thy boot so I may lick it.
Right. Yeah, the Putin Party.
Jesus Christ.
Although Tucker's interview with Putin, apparently he was disappointed in Carlson.
Really?
yeah. He expected more hardball questions, he said. And because he wanted to come back hardball, you know, and he wasn't able to do that with the softball questions Tucker was giving him. Now, he said that, so... Which is worth noting, though, Tucker Carlson has been one of the only journalists to be regularly played on Russian news TV.
Right. I love the footage of Carlson going around to grocery stores in Russia. Did you see that footage?
Oh, I did.
Him discovering for what seems to be the very first time that things are cheaper outside the United States. you know, and I've got bad news for Tucker. That's everywhere, okay, in the world, not just Russia. Do we have a failed society? Yes, we do. you know.
Well, right. Although things are cheaper because...
things are cheaper everywhere you go, even if it's Sweden or Italy or... Everything is a little cheaper. That's what you learn.
Why do you think
that's
that
what
is?
I don't give a shit. Okay, I don't know why.
Because inflation has been worldwide.
Inflation has been worldwide, but they were starting lower. You know what I mean? They don't gouge in the same way with the food. You know what I mean? The food is they treat the food differently. Like the things we consume, they have a different attitude about it.
They've got a little more social order in place. Their oligarchs, their aristocracy, doesn't have the same free reign that it does in the United States.
I wish I knew more about world politics. All I know is my experience as a traveler. That's what I know.
Uh-huh.
My experience as a traveler, eating at restaurants, staying in hotels, visiting touristic sites, going around. And when you travel, you are very cognizant of the money that you're spending, what things are costing. And, you know,
sure.
Every place I've went to over the last 30 years, I've had the same exact feeling. The same exact feeling, you know. Like, Jesus Christ, why can't I get a croissant and a coffee for $4 in the United States? Why can't I do that?
Yeah.
Now here I am, I'm looking at the Parthenon and I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Sure. I mean, a certain amount of inflation is based on what the traffic will allow.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the traffic will allow.
Well, that is the equation. The price point equation starts right there. It's like, what's the demographic of the people walking by my store? You know,
what will people pay?
So over time, you end up with a situation where, you know, slowly but surely, things are 10 or 15% cheaper everywhere else. You know, and depending on some countries you go to, a lot cheaper. You know. You start getting into third world countries, it starts getting crazy, like how much cheaper everything is, you know, and it's the same companies. That's what's crazy is all their weird products with their little weird logos and weird writing. It's all the same goddamn companies that are supplying our stuff. It's all the same companies, James. Nestle, Nabisco, you know, it's all the same companies. So you tell me how somebody can make a candy bar for Botswana and it's 35 lucals, which translates into 19 cents. You know what I mean? How is this possible? So you can't tell me our prices have anything.
Pfizer selling the same medicine.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know. Yeah, the insulin. The insulin's a great one.
Well, and they're getting what they can get in other countries, and they're getting what they can get in this country, and it's a lot more.
And these are multinational, multi-billion dollar octopuses of companies. So, you know, so then it really makes you think, you know, knowing that, there's no way you can explain to me how it's President Biden's fault that the candy bar is a dollar. I'll never accept that. You know what I mean? That's correct.
Yeah, nor I. Particularly seeing how the inflation really started, you know, during COVID and under Trump, you know, it started going up then.
But it really hit the first year of Biden's presidency. That's when it really went up. That's when we saw gas get crazy. All consumer products went up 20%. Eggs were $13 a dozen. You know, it's you can't tell me this is a market reaction. I don't believe it. I don't believe
that. Do you see some deeper agenda involved?
I would believe it if corporate profits stayed the same. Then I would believe it. Okay? If prices went up 20% and their profit margin stayed the same, then that would tell me that that's real. But the fact that prices go up 20% and so did their profits.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, that's game over for me. I mean, you can't have a pile of money and explain to me how it was Biden. It's Biden did it. You know what I mean? And these are all the S&P 500. Everybody made a shit ton of money in the last few years. Everybody.
They're doing just great.
They're doing just great.
Which is why the stock market is doing great, and GDP is up, and employment is up. Every indicator.
Which again casts a light back on the right wing media. Like how can everything you say be bullshit? Like everything. How could you still have supporters if every single thing you're saying is incorrect?
Yeah, apparently it works.
What the fuck is wrong with us? Seriously.
Right.
Seriously.
So it depends on truth. And, they say in the long arc of history, it bends towards justice. Well, we'll see, I guess.
I mean, I guess that's comforting.
How long is this arc here?
I mean, right. How far back do I have to stand to see this? But I guess you're right. Look, there's less. Look, if you look at it, take a snapshot of right now, and compare it to a snapshot of 1,000 years ago or 1,500 years ago or any time
you
choose.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Things are better.
For minorities, you don't have to go back very far at all.
Exactly. Yeah.
50s.
Right. I keep seeing these posts. My grandparents celebrated their 75th wedding anniversary or whatever. Why can't people, why can't marriages stay together like before? And there's easy questions. There's a lot of easy answers for that too. I don't know. Your grandmother wasn't able to have a bank account.
Right.
That could, or own property.
Right.
It's not that big a mystery. It wasn't Ice Spice throwing up a satanic symbol,
Yeah, right. It's still not over for women getting equality, but they're doing much better than they used to. And that might be the difference that, you point to. They have more volition now.
Yeah, they can leave if they want
their
to.
Their own choices. Yeah.
And so a lot of them choose to.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a moral failing.
Then there's the whole marriage thing. That's always, it's basically a religious idea, marriage.
Yeah.
At least formalized marriage.
Well, let's say it was an economic idea that kind of got co-opted, usually marriage back in the day was families joining farms. There was some economic impetus to it. Like, let's bring our clans closer together so we can do business. And then now it's for everybody and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's at least it didn't work for me.
Well, nor I.
I'd like to blame the institution, though.
We weren't trying to do that, though. So,
let's not get into that. I'm going to get all sad. Yeah. You think you're over something, and then you're not. So, Valentine's Day is always rough,
Well, speaking of relationships, Fanny Willis.
Yeah, I watched all that. Did you watch it?
I watched a lot of it, yeah.
Yeah, I watched a surprising amount of it.
She was pretty entertaining, actually. But I'm still trying to figure out, why shouldn't she have a relationship with this guy? I know there's the idea that if she gave a lover a position, but I mean, even that, I don't see the huge problem there. The guy has a reputation that's good. He's an able prosecutor. Why shouldn't she hire him?
But did he work for her?
Well, yeah, she made him the she hired him.
And so did they have a relationship beyond that point?
Well, see, that's where the issue is. She's saying that the romantic relationship didn't start until after he was on the team.
Okay, well, that's not helping.
I know.
That's not helping.
So what?
Well, so okay, what? Here's the so what is she's not supposed to do that. But does that necessarily because you're not supposed to. It's just protocol. You're not supposed to fraternize with your team members like that. You know?
I do believe that happens all the time.
It does, and the reason why you're not supposed to is exactly for this moment, where
because they're able to use it as a tool against her.
Exactly. So that's why you do it. You do it to protect your work, to protect the office.
The appearance of propriety.
The appearance of impropriety.
I'm not sure that I buy that, because what about her having a relationship with somebody on the team? Would make the effort to, you know, take the case forward. How would it harm that if they're playing by the book?
Well, that's the thing. That's the point too. It's like if they're playing by the book, you know, which parts of the book are they playing by? So as soon as you call into question, you know, how fragile that is, then. You know, they're allowed to do some things, but not other things. I'm not saying it should disqualify any of this. I'm not saying that. I don't think it matters. And ultimately, you know, who do you choose to have relationships with? People you're in proximal relationships with, right?
Exactly.
Right.
People around you.
People that are around you. So, you know, it's a tough thing. And, you know, the mantle of leadership carries that, a little of that. You have to, you know what I mean? You can't have it both ways. So,
well, I agree the appearance of propriety is a real thing, and you should take that into consideration, which is why judges recuse themselves, you know, when it, you know, it looks bad. Maybe there's really nothing there at all, but if it looks bad, there's going to be.
And you don't date people that you hire. You don't do that either, for the same reason, to your team. You don't want your team to think maybe could be. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm not saying this disqualifies anything. I'm just, you know, she's not on trial. And she said it herself. I'm not.
As she said.
Yeah, you guys are trying to put me on trial. I am not on trial here.
Yeah.
I agree with that too.
Nor should she be.
And to think that it's not happening at every level in nearly every office, government.
Yeah, exactly.
I, that's pretty naive to think that that's not happening. So.
Yeah. How many of my coworkers?
Probably not as many as you wished. You know, but
nonetheless. That's standard male deal, but
well, you worked in a strip club, I'm saying. So.
I worked in a strip club. You know, so.
I'm sure I think any jury would be understandable with that. No, you're not supposed to. Listen, when you're in a position of leadership, you're supposed to rise above that. So, you know, there's something there. I don't think it's enough to disqualify anybody for anything.
Well, I think there's a little bit of, you know, silverback dominance in the group. He wants to make sexual access to the females harder for everybody else but him. So I think there's a little bit of that to that.
Hmm. But I think
and
it failed.
Maybe a little bit of.
I think their attempt to disqualify her failed. I mean, I think she definitely, I mean, I trust her after listening to her.
Yes.
You know why I trust her? Because she said things that were not good for her, and she still said it. That's why I trust her.
You know what I mean?
It seemed like she was trying to be as honest as she could.
Exactly.
So I think it played that way, you know?
Yeah. And I think as far as the case that she's been bringing, she's been doing that very ably as well. I mean, the 19 co-defendants, people wondered if that was a good idea, and it turned out it was. People flipping on each other and you know, all of that. So right. I think she's done really well. And you're right. Her feistiness didn't hurt her at all in the deposition.
I have no doubt in my mind she could do her job.
You know? Yeah.
I trust that. So
yeah.
I'd love to see her like just jump over into a political career. Like after they tried to disparage her, like she just becomes a congresswoman or something.
Oh, well,
it could sure. be great.
Yeah, know? I could totally see that.
It's available. Totally it's that. Available to her. So. You know,
she's got enough public recognition.
Absolutely. Now that's you can't pay for that kind of advertising.
Yeah.
3 hours on every network, you know?
Yeah, right?
God damn, I hate Fox News so much. You know what I mean? News Corp, you know? Ugh, God. Why?
I mean, so what's going on with Ukraine?
What's going on is we're fighting a very profitable proxy war, is what we're doing. And
okay, so you tied the border to Ukraine funding because you thought you could get some what you wanted at the border that way. And so they gave them what they wanted at the border.
Yeah. And they still shot it down. Yeah.
They shot it down because, you know, Trump says, we need this issue to run on. We need the border to run on.
We only said that because we didn't think you'd do it.
We got to make it stay a mess through the rest of Biden's, presidency.
And I think the rank and file Republican weirdo is like, you know what? We got to do it. We got to stall this government out. We have to protect blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, ends justify the means. That's definitely part of a right wing fascistic, playbook. I remember one time I was in I was a young Mormon kid, and I don't know, maybe that's why this guy targeted me, but he would have these philosophical discussions with me. And I remember one that I had with him, James Waterstrat was his name. And he asked me, was political assassination ever justified?
Jeez Louise.
Now, right? I mean, young Mormon, naive 19-year-old that I was, no, absolutely not.
It's right.
That murder is never justified.
Right.
But you could tell that he thought there were circumstances.
Hitler, I guess? Or
well... I think he did even bring that up, Hitler, as the example.
Well, that's the one example that carries. I mean, everybody else, it's like, you know, we should have been assassinating all the people that we put in power after we assassinated the other guy. You know what I mean? like we have a really bad track record for choosing warlords.
So anyway, that... ends justify the means. Even political assassination was something I took out of that from him anyway. So that was one of the things I think that maybe I was a right winger myself. I was reading None Dare Call It Treason and While You Slept and Nine Men Against America about the war in Supreme Court and but I was starting to, is that part of the deal here? Political assassination.
Well, I mean, what do we do now? We're not assassinating leaders now. We're just like, oh, okay, you know what? We'll starve your babies then. You know, let's just starve your kids. Stop AIDS. Stop whatever. You know.
Well, I think they've figured out that character assassination is more effective than political, actual assassination.
You following the Russian nuclear space threat?
Oh, yeah.
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 Tough one, huh? Eventually we're going to go after those satellites.
2.5 years ago, I would have said we could cut funding to NATO. We could cut our defense budget in half. We're not there now, though. We're not in that world anymore. We're up against China, North Korea.
I'm not worried about anything. I'm not worried about a war. What I'm worried about is a disruption. Some type of, a rogue actor, maybe at the behest of a foreign government, but a rogue actor doing something to disrupt the power grid, for example. You know, there's certain vulnerabilities we have right now. And the most powerful military, the strongest nation on the planet, all of these things, but there are vulnerabilities that we have that don't require a war to expose. And that's one of them.
Sure. It's going after satellites. They're not going to drop bombs from space on Earth.
No, they're going to do EMP pulses.
They're
going to
take out communication satellites.
Well, if you do an EMP pulse, you're talking about electrical being gone. And it could take 6 months to get it back up.
Right.
If you cut the power off in the United States for 6 months, we will not even have a country at the end of that. There won't even be a country left. Yeah.
So it's a real deal.
It's a real deal. So how do we have to have fortified backup systems that are subterranean. You know what I mean? Like, we got to be able to power the nation from underground.
I hadn't thought of that, but that's absolutely
far deep enough to block the pulse. So deep enough. We're talking about a half mile down. I mean, this is a project.
It comes back to defense, which that would be defensive, but it comes back to deterrence too. If you do this, okay, we're going to come back this way.
Well, mutually assured destruction, sure, but the problem with an EMP pulse is it renders us impotent to do that because we can't communicate. They're going to go back to like ham radio style. So so there's some things the EMP pulse is not going to. They may be able to get some communication going old school way. So, so obviously part of the preparation for that, defense to that, is kind of getting those systems in place where they need to be so that if we had to communicate by Morse code, we could, kind of thing. But for us, we're going to have a problem. You know, our food's going to go bad in 2 days. Our water will not work. Our toilets will stop flushing. So you're going to have bacteria issues within 48 hours. It's a bad situation. So we need to, hopefully this will, whether this is true or not, hopefully this will wake us up to the fact that we got to figure out some plan.
Well, I think it already has.
Yeah.
I think it already has. The fact that they told the public about it says, okay, this is happening and you need to know about it. And we are on it.
People need to be told that their feces needs to be buried 250 feet from their house, it needs to be disposed of. You know, they should be teaching people about buckets and sawdust and it seems weird, but people need to know.
You're probably right. Yeah, you're probably right.
What a fucking mess. It's always some boogeyman. They got us every time. I mean, is this all horseshit? Is this all war with Eurasia? You know what I mean? Is this like 1984
right.
shit? You know? How much of this is just a show, percentage-wise?
Well, I mean, tell that to, 50,000 dead Ukrainians.
Collateral damage, you know what I mean? It's I'm saying I don't think Russia would have ever invaded. I hate to say this, but I don't think Russia would have ever invaded Ukraine unless they were told that that was acceptable. You know, you want to say Rothschild family, whatever, meeting of minds, I don't think anything happens in a vacuum anymore,
Yeah.
You buy that at all? That there's some...
I'm not sure.
Just an understanding between governments, Hey, don't freak out. We're going to start bombing Ukraine.
Well, we freaked out. As a matter of fact, we told Ukraine, hey, look, they're coming. I think they're coming in. And at least publicly, Ukraine was, I don't know. They're massing at the border, but that's just all to scare us.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah?
I thought it was all horse shit at the beginning. I'm like, there's no way they're going to do that,
Well, see, I mean, it seems like such a bad idea. And it has proven, although They just took that that town that I can't pronounce in Ukraine.
Well, I didn't understand the why of it. As soon as someone explained the why, like why Ukraine is so dangerous to them, then it made more sense to me. You know, obviously you don't want a westernized style government butted up against your border like that. You know what I mean? That's not going to help. Well, you know.
So, okay, there's that. But at the same time, Poland, is that next? Estonia? These are European EU democracies right on your doorstep. What are you going to do?
Right.
So that's the real problem with just kind of, you know, turning your back on Putin.
I mean, Zelensky could have said, we're going to put a moratorium on deciding to join NATO for 5 years. He could have said that. We're going to study it. You know? He could have said that, Zelensky, at the beginning.
Zelensky?
At the very beginning. You know, because all of this shit kind of starts when he says, well, maybe we'll join NATO.
Wait a minute. So you go back to 2014 and the Maidan uprising. And that was about joining the EU.
Hmm.
And so they had a president that they had just elected. He was campaigning on joining the EU. And then suddenly he's going, nah, that's not such a good idea. We can't do that. And the people rose up and threw him out. And at the cost of hundreds of lives, I mean, there was crackdown.
I mean, from
and
the
then finally,
yeah. I mean, if you're a imagine you're Russia, and now they are going to join NATO, which means you're 2 seconds from having ICBMs right there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I don't know. I don't know.
So it's provocative.
It's provocative. The whole thing.
I don't think he needed the provocation to do what he did. I think he's wants to expand Russia.
I think we are pleased as punch to be sending that money and those weapon systems over there. We're just happy as it's the Afghanistan war, the Afghan Russia war was a great moment for us. You know, I mean, we bankrupted Russia for 20 years with that. You know,
sure.
And I think that's the old war hawks are thinking this is going to be the same thing. We'll just do a proxy war for the next, you know, 5 or 6 years and, you know, burn out Russia, a lot of Russia's shit.
Oh, I suppose there's some people, but the reality is this is a world fight, democracy and autocracy. It really is. I mean, that sounds like, too cut and dry, but it's really is that. That's really happening in the world right now.
I don't know. I'm not so sold on democracy the way I was 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
So democracy.
No, I'm just saying we sit here in a democrat country that's supposed to be the world's greatest democracy, and it seems like there's a lot of mess here in terms of people hating each other, and you know, it's a big disaster.
Guaranteed mediocrity.
And I absolutely would not trade this for an autocracy or some kind of, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
So that's the problem I have. It's not perfect and there's a lot of problems with it. But what's better?
But I'm saying not what's better, but should we be trying to get this everywhere? You know, maybe I understand we need to block that. I get that. But maybe spreading this isn't so great either. Maybe we should work on trying to fix this and perfect this so that it can sell itself. You know what I mean?
That's a good idea.
Right.
And that was what the founders had at the beginning of the Republican experiment, with the creation of the United States. It was a beacon on a hill to be an example to the world. And it was French Revolution almost immediately, the reduction of the power of the monarchy in England happened. Monarchy has disappeared from the world basically because of that first step towards, you know, representative government.
Good morning.
And
we're at the
good
end.
Good morning.
Stop the show. I can't believe this.
Good morning.
Finally, have, we finally have a good show.
Good morning.
And we have to stop.
And we have to stop. Let's continue this, though.
Good morning.
We should.
In the very near future.
And I still
future.
Want to talk about movies, too.
We're gonna do a special show coming up on, well, you know, I guess our favorite films, least favorite films.
We love movies.
We do love movies. We love good ones. We love bad ones.
Right.
So maybe we'll spend some time on that. We definitely need to get back to Taylor Swift, so there's a lot more to be said there. Of course, the mass shooting. We didn't even touch on that. So, we will see you in the next couple days, then.
Well, all right. So, well, thank you, Dave.
Thank you, James. Thank you, the listeners. Special shout out to the listeners for keeping this a secret. Thank you so much. It's.
I mean, if this got out, what could happen?
Yeah, do your part and don't tell anyone about this show. So, you know, maybe we can stop it. Thank you, James.
I like the psychology there.
Hey, look. Hey, we tried begging him. That didn't work. You know, we tried putting our blood, sweat, and tears into the broadcast. That didn't work. So now we're going to half-ass it and tell you to keep it a secret. We'll see how that goes.
We'll see.
Anyway, we love you all and have a wonderful Saturday.
Ciao. Yeah.
Two, four, six, eight, and drizzle.